All right, so the title of my message, it's A New Walk, A New Talk, A New Life. And for those who may be taking notes, the main idea is walking in the new life with Christ is life indeed. And I have 3 points that I want to share, and I'm going to try to embellish each point as we go. And the first point is that God has provided a way for us to enter into a new life in Christ. So when we heard the good news about what Christ has done, how he died on the cross, that he was buried, and he was raised again, after we heard those truths, and we put our faith and our trust in him, we were made alive in God and we were given a new life. And I can say that this happened to me when I moved to Ohio to attend a 2-year technical school. I moved to Ohio from Richmond. I grew up in Richmond and had a good family life there in Richmond. It was a family of 8. My mom and dad and my 5 brothers and sisters. And, we always, we would go to church and we would go to Sunday school and we would go to vacation Bible school. And so I heard a lot of the truths about who Jesus was and what he did and that he rose again. And I believe those things, but I never really fully understood how they applied to me personally. And so I went about just living my life just like everybody else and doing some good things, doing some bad things, and hoping that I would do enough good things to outweigh the bad things so that when I came before God that he would accept me on that basis. And unfortunately, that's not how it works. In fact, I want to read a scripture that kind of explains a little bit more about the truth behind what we have to do. And that scripture is John, and it's in chapter 5, and it's verses 24 through 26. And you can take a moment to get there. And I marked them in my Bible, so I'm able to get to them fairly quickly. And so I'm going to go ahead and read, starting John chapter 5, starting in verse 24. It says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself." So that scripture basically says that life is in Jesus. And it says that when we hear God's truth and we put our trust in his truth, it says that we cross over from death into life. And not only from death into life, but we cross over into eternal life. God's life is eternal. And that really is life indeed. So, secondly, I just want to mention that one of the things that Sister Grace shared about being a new creature, that was what I experienced at the point that I accepted Christ. And so when I went off to Ohio, I met a few people who were believers, who were Christians, and I could see there was a difference in their life. It was just something about them that I knew was different. And I think that's true for every person who's not a believer, who develops some type of friendship with a believer, they can see that there's something different about them. And, you know, sometimes you can't necessarily put your finger on it, but whether it might be just the peace in their lives, the contentment in their lives, or just the hope in their lives, but there's something different. And it's attractive, you know. It makes people want to find out more. And so Sister Grace shared the verse from 2 Corinthians 5 where it says that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And I can say that I experienced that at the point that I accepted Christ and asked him into my life, that it was a radical change. I knew it was something was different. And I actually was at home at the time. I was we lived in an apartment. I had a couple of roommates. And so I happened to be in the kitchen, and I was waxing the floor in the kitchen. So I was literally down on all fours waxing the floor. And God just brought a flood of thoughts to my mind based on some of the interaction I had with the Christians that I had met, but also through some of the things I had observed as far as in nature. And God brought that flood of thoughts to my mind to help me to see that he was real, to help me to see that he was there. And I sensed his presence in that time, and at that time, I felt that he was telling me, he said, "Do you believe that I'm real?" And I remember saying yes. And he says, "Will you allow me to be in charge of your life?" And I remember saying yes. And at that point, like I said, it's like the lights came on and the bells and horns went off, and I knew this was different. Something was different. And so I ran back to the bedroom where one of my roommates was, and I brought him out and I set him down. And I just started witnessing to him. And I just said, you know, God is real. You know, all that we've been hearing, it's true. You know, we don't need the crutches that we were relying on to try and be happy. And I probably talked to him about 5 minutes. And he sat there, and I don't know, you know, whether or not it was getting through to him or not. But he acknowledged what I was saying was true. And sadly, that young man, he later on, he was killed in a situation in when he went back home to New York. And so I don't know whether or not he made that decision to accept Christ or not. I hope he had. And you know, and if he has, then I will see him on the other side. And so, but I just want to mention, too, that really that's just the beginning point. At the point that we accept Christ in our lives, that's the beginning point. And the good thing about it is that basically God has more that he wants to give to us. And he has a whole treasure trove of blessings that he desires to give to us. And, you know, Pastor, he often refers to a passage in Colossians chapter 2, and that passage tells us that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we have to seek him to get to know him better, and as we do, we'll start to discover those treasures. So we can look forward to the things that God has for us, the things that God wants to give to us, that he wants to bless us with each day. And just like in the song that Sister Grace was saying, "Great is thy faithfulness, and morning by morning new mercies I see." And God wants to bless us every day and give us new things. So point two is that God desires that we learn to walk in, to live in, to grow in our new life in Christ. And two scriptures, one is in Ephesians 1:4, one is in Colossians 1:21 and 22. And those scriptures basically say that he has made us holy, that God has made us holy, that he has made us blameless, and that he has made us beyond reproach. By the work that he has done through Christ, those things are true for each one of us. And as a result of those things, we can now live in that new life. And in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, it talks about how we have been raised up with Christ and that we are united with him in his death and his burial and his resurrection. And I want to embellish that thought just a little bit more, and that's a scripture in Romans chapter 6, and it's verses 4 through 11. And we can turn there, and I will read that for you. And it reads, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like him. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with." And another translation said, "rendered powerless." "That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." And I really like that last verse. It says, count yourselves as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And that really is a blessing, even though, you know, sometimes we may not remember that those things are true, but they are. You know, when we accepted Christ, we were united with him in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection. And now God has given us the power to live the new life, to walk in the new life. And so I'm really thankful for that, because, you know, in our own strength, we can't do it. So, but anyway, let me move on. I got to find out where I'm at in my notes. And I'm actually at point three. And so point three says that we are greater and greater reflections of Christ as we learn to walk in the new life. And there's a verse in John where Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And then Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, that actually embellishes that thought. And it gives us a picture of what loving one another as Christ loved us looks like. And Sister Grace read a portion of it this morning for the scripture reading. But I'd like to go ahead and read that entire section. It's Colossians chapter 3, and it's verses 1 through 17. And it says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And I really like that thought right there in that verse. It says, Christ is your life. He says, when Christ, who is your life, appears. But just the thought that now we have died to our old way of life, and Christ, the way that he lives, that's the way that we can live now. And he is our life, and we can learn to walk in that life. Starting in verse 5, it says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. In verse 15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So that's a mouthful, and that is a very challenging section of the scripture. And to be able to put all of those things into practice, it's difficult. And I said, you know, it's actually a pretty long list of to-dos and to-don'ts. And so if you try to do those things, you're going to have a challenge in front of you. But, you know, I want to let you guys in on a secret. I have a secret, and, you know, most people like secrets. And here's the secret. We can't do it. In and of ourselves, we can't. In our own strength, we can't. And it's only as we rely on God to give us the energy, the strength, and the power to do these things that we're able to do them. And as we are able to learn how to love one another as Christ loved us, we can accomplish those things. And it says that love is the fulfillment of the law. So the fulfillment of the to-dos and the to-don'ts is through love. When we learn to love, then we're able to carry out those things. You know, I'm thankful to God that, you know, he is very patient with us, and God will build those things into our lives little by little. You know, God will send a trial into our lives, and it will test us in an area that we need to grow in. And little by little, God will build onto our character so that more and more we are a reflection of him. In fact, the book of James, it says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And it says, let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And so God will use trials in our lives to help build our character. And God is in the process of making us more and more like Christ. He's already done the work. As God sees us, we are complete, we are holy, we're blameless, we're beyond reproach. But He's building that into our lives day by day as we walk with Him. And so I'm really thankful that God is faithful. I love that song. God is faithful. You know, He is faithful to be at work in us. And in fact, I think Brother Don shared the passage last week. It says, He who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. You know, God has started the work in our lives, and He will be faithful to complete it. And so I just have a couple more thoughts that I'd like to share with you. And one of the thoughts is that we really are blessed as a church family that we're able to see these truths being practiced and that they're being put into action. And we get blessed over and over and over again as acts of kindness towards one another, as well as acts of service to the community, are done through this body. You know, God has blessed me, I know, time and time again. And many of you can say the same thing, that God has blessed you through this body of believers. Acts of kindness, acts of love, acts of sacrifice on our behalf. And in fact, in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, it tells us, it says, consider how to spur one another on to love and good deeds, and to encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day of Christ's return drawing near. And so as we see this world more and more falling apart, as we see wickedness just multiplied here in this world, God says, try to stimulate one another. Consider how to stimulate one another to do love and good deeds, and encourage one another, you know, because we need encouragement, because sometimes it can get pretty discouraging as we're dealing with all the craziness that goes on here in this world. And so I just want to say that I am very thankful to be a part of this church family, this family of believers who seek to put those things into practice. And I'm very thankful that our pastor is one who points us to Christ. He points us to a growing relationship in Christ. And as we grow in our relationship with Him, then we're able to walk in that new life. We're able to talk the new talk. We're able to experience life indeed in Christ. So that's all I have, and God bless you all, and I hope that something spoke to your heart. And so we're going to have the benediction, and right after the benediction, we're going to have a closing song, and I hope that you just have to hit refresh, and it should come up. And I hope that you'll be blessed by that song as well. So let's pray. So Father, we just want to thank You again for Your love. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You, Lord, for life in Your Son. Lord, thank You for inviting us into life, Lord. Lord, we were living in the darkness, Lord. We didn't have a clue as to what life was all about. And Lord, thank You, You sent Your Son. Lord, You sent Him to die on the cross, to pay the price for our sin, to pay the penalty for our sin. And Lord, thank You that He was buried and that He was raised. And because He was raised, Lord, that we know that we have forgiveness of sin. And Lord, we thank You that we have the hope of eternity with You. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you have for us each day. Thank you, Lord, for the treasure trove of blessings that you have for each one of us. We pray that you would help us, Lord, to desire you more and more, to desire you, Lord, above all else. And Lord, we just thank you for this time, and I pray that you will use your word, Lord, to meet the need of each heart. And we cast all these cares on you. We give you all the praise, give you all the glory, Lord, because it's only by your grace, only by your mercy, Lord, only by your goodness, Lord, that we can love you, that we can follow you, we can seek you, Lord, and we can walk in a relationship with you. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' holy name, amen.